Welcome to the Real Estate Hustle Podcast. My name is Andre Chin, broker owner, real estate investor, mega agent, and real estate coach. We're going to be tackling all things real estate, bringing you guests from all across North America, mega agents, mega teams. We're going to be diving deep into their businesses to figure out how they got to where they are and how they consistently bring that hustle into their business every single day. Buckle up, our podcast starts now. All right, guys, thanks for joining us again on the Real Estate Hustle Podcast. I'm your host, Andre Chin. Today, we've got the one and only Dylan Suter. I'm so excited to chat with Dylan. We're going to deep dive into his business, find out how he's taken his hustle, transformed it into real estate, building one of the best businesses out there, top 20 in Canada, one of the biggest investment portfolios I've seen in recent memory, and our future soon-to-be new OP. I think I get to be the first to congratulate you. Congratulations, Dylan, and welcome to the show. Can you tell everyone about yourself?
Thanks so much, Andre. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you covered a lot of it there, but I'll definitely dive as deep into it as you want. 4.5 years in real estate now. So it was mid-2016 that I got my real estate license. And I really got my real estate license because I wanted to buy and sell houses myself. And I didn't want to pay commissions. And truthfully, I'll be honest, I've said it over and over again, really, really awful reason to get into real estate. If that's why you got into real estate and you want to save commissions, just hire a really good agent because they're probably going to negotiate better for you than you are going to negotiate for yourself. And I found that out the hard way. I love negotiating. I don't love negotiating for myself. Maybe there's the odd stranger out there that disagrees. But out of the nearly 100 properties we've purchased in the last 18 to 24 months, I would say I've represented myself on maybe 4 of them. And those are just the wholesale deals that come across my desk or the deals where I've bought with another client and that client backs out for one strange reason, some way, shape, or form. They get cold feet and I'm like, I'm not letting this go back to market because it's definitely too good of a deal for that. And so that's kind of the world we live in. And yes, you are absolutely correct. I've transitioned into a team leader role at Keller Williams Neighborhood in the Junction in West Toronto. I will be team leader interim until we find my replacement as a team leader. And then come January 1st, I will be transitioning into the official OP, the operating principal in the Junction office in the West End of Toronto.
That's incredible. And what a short time frame to have accomplished so much. What were you doing before deciding that you didn't want anyone else negotiating for you? What did your world look like before getting into real estate?
You and I had a fairly similar background where I've actually run a painting company now for 13 years. And I'll be honest, it's now transitioning from a painting company to a construction company because I found my replacement, as we talk about quite often, and an insanely talented individual that I'm extremely proud and happy to call my business partner on a new construction company that was launched really out of necessity last year. And so the painting business was something that I got in as university first class painters back in the day. Woo, yeah. Go me. And then transitioned into elite trade painting, recruited and hired across all of Canada, or all of Ontario mainly, but I definitely helped train and develop individuals, and that was where my passion for helping people came in. And I kind of stumbled into the painting company. I tell the story quite often where I showed up for class 15 minutes early, and trust me, this did not happen in university very often. And I showed up 15 minutes early, and it was that day that there was a couple of individuals that were like, do you want to run a painting company? I was like, what does this mean exactly? And they were like, well, you're going to start a painting company. And I said, okay, well, do I have to paint? And they said, no, you don't have to. I said, great, sign me up. And I had a conversation with the owner of the company that year at training. And he said, I've never had a student that didn't pick up a brush and paint sometime in the year. And I said, well, I will be your first. And I love to share that story because it's a kind of a trendsetter mentality. And it's the Hustle Podcast I see in the background. And I would say that I did everything in my power. I would work overtime on the sales side and overtime on the marketing and overtime on everything, hiring if I had to make sure I did not pick up a paintbrush.
That's amazing.
That was really the passion of selling. And that's what I'm passionate about is negotiating and selling and building teams. And it doesn't matter what industry it's in. It just so happens that this real estate world is an endless opportunity, an endless possibility that you can take literally anywhere you want.
So I mean, a couple of things I heard in there. I heard trendsetter. I heard hustle. I heard, you know, I showed up early and opportunity showed up for me. I jumped right on that opportunity. One of the things that, I mean, anyone listening at home or wherever you are listening, that people might not realize, Dylan, you're not 50 years old. You are now, and being a trendsetter, and this kind of, I want to say, makes me a little mad, but you are now going to officially be the youngest OP ever in Canada, a title which you just took from me. And it seems to be that
we keep going through this battle that keeps happening where we do something and we have to constantly one-up each other. But that is an incredible feat because we celebrated your 30th birthday, and I had a great time, and you did as well. But you're doing all of this before the age of 30, which for anyone listening thinking, oh, you know what, real estate's an old man's game and this and that, you're basically smashing that myth and proving that you can be anywhere that you want to be before you're 30 years old. And I'm pretty sure you're going to be one of the youngest people to retire that I will personally know. And you're on pace for this massive world. So you get into real estate, which is incredible. You do it for the wrong reasons, which we all know. Nevertheless, you're here. How do you go from, I'm going to start buying properties for myself and stop paying commission, to I'm building a team, and not just a normal team. I'm going to build a top 20 team across the nation, and I'm going to go do a million in GCI, if not more, by the end of this year. How do you go from that, I'm doing painting, getting into real estate, to now where you are? I mean, what's that journey like for you?
I love it. You said a lot there. We're going to play this game of ping pong where we just kind of summarize what we said back and forth. It's going to be a lot of fun. So whoever is getting bored already, I apologize. This is the level of energy you get from Andre and I. And just imagine doing this in like family reunion or mega camp. It's even better. Trust me. So number one, you said, I hate to tell you this, but you mentioned that I keep beating you in things. Unfortunately, you are always going to be older than me. So that will continue to happen because every time you do something, I have a few years to do it. So this is really exciting for me. Number two, you mentioned the University First Class Painters thing, and I was actually the youngest regional manager for University First Class Painters as well when I took that role. So
of course,
I hadn't even turned 19 yet, and I was going across all of Ontario training and hiring and recruiting, which honestly, it was just about the fact that I was hungry. And then I had an incredible upbringing with my parents that I started cutting grass at 7 years old. And I remember I missed one little like strip down the front yard of my house. And my dad stopped dinner, put his fork down and said, if you're going to do something, do it right. Go back and get the lawnmower and go cut that strip right now. And I literally had to go back in the middle of dinner and cut that strip of grass because I had missed it. And it started a trend where it's, if you're going to do something, do it right. And be passionate about something, fall in love with something. And if you've fallen in love with that, you'll never work a day in your life. Which brings me to the last point that you mentioned about retiring. And I'll be the earliest person to retire, the youngest person to retire. I need your definition of what retirement is, because I'll tell you right now, I am having a ton of fun with everything I do on a daily basis. Of course, there's problems. The iceberg, yeah, it only gets bigger when you end up having more success. And I mean, there's a lot more underneath it that people don't see. And so that definitely happens. But at the end of the day, when you wake up in the morning excited to take on whatever that day's challenges are, and you've changed the way you think, I don't know what retirement looks like to you, but I can tell you right now that I'm definitely be investing in real estate. I'll be building businesses. I'll be buying and selling businesses. I'll be adding value. I'll be mentoring. I'll be coaching. I'll be doing everything I possibly can. And that's why I took this opportunity as team leader and operating principal, was because of that is what this business is. I'm going to be jumping into a 5-year MBA in real estate, as Gary calls it. And he says, you can be anywhere you want to be in 5 years. I was maybe in my life, I might sell 50 houses. That was a big dream I had 4 years ago. And as of today, well, actually late last night, we have surpassed 100 transactions on the year, and our total team commission is over 1.3 already on the year. So I'm extremely excited to be able to say that all that's happened in a short period of time. And it's really come down to that one thing that I just mentioned about that strip of grass. If you're going to do something, do it right.
Okay. Well, and I love that you shared that. I mean, when I look at retirement, and I'm glad you actually asked, because everyone's definition of retirement's a little bit different. And when you think real estate, we know most realtors don't ever retire. I mean, you see them out at showings, they're showing houses with pretty well a walker with them sometimes. In my mind, I think retirement for me is getting up and doing what I love. Not because I have to, because I want to. So my bills are paid, I'm making enough money to live the life I want to live. I'm doing whatever I want to do. And the work aspect of it isn't work. It's a hobby, or I'm doing what I love. And I think you're probably pretty close to that already. But I wanted to dive into the team side of things a little bit, and the real estate side of things. So you guys are at over 100 units and 1.3 million in gross commission income. How are you doing it? What's the secret? Is there a secret? Like, share. Come on.
So just look, I think if I'm going to turn to your right and point to that picture over there, that one, that a little higher. Well, yeah, those are both secrets. Right? I mean, that little red Bible, that thing up on the wall there, right? And so I guess there's a few things you mentioned here. You mentioned that a lot of realtors will do it and they'll show up in a walker and they'll do showings. I mean, you say that as a bit of a joke, but I think that the one difference that that red book behind you shares is that we have to go from E to P. We have to go from the left side of the cash flow quadrant from Robert Kiyosaki to the right side, which is going from a salesperson to a business owner. Now, there is 7 levels in that book. And level number 1 is, do you want to run a business? Level number 2 is, who helps you? Level number 3 is, do you have a lead administrator? Those are the first 3 levels of building your business. Now, what does that really mean? And we'll kind of dive into the 7 levels. I think it's really, really important to talk about what those different areas are. But level 1 is, do you want to be a salesperson or a business owner? Is really what that is. Do you want to be on the left side of the cash flow quadrant? If you haven't seen it before, Google Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant. What you'll see is that left side is 95% of the world's population and 5% of the world's income. 95% of the world population, 5% of the world's income. Now, we know that money doesn't make you happy,
right?
Although it gives you a lot of opportunity that you can then go and put it towards something that could make you happy.
Right.
So that left side is the employee and the self-employed. Now, the right side is the business owner and investor. And when you start changing the way you think and the way you act, and you focus on the right side, which is on business owner and investor, it changes your whole world and dynamic. And that was when I first got into real estate as an agent. I remember seeing Cam Sullivan. I'll give him a little shout out here. And it was the Cam Sullivan team. And I got to know him. I'm like, hey, man, what's the team look like? He's like, well, it's just me. And I'm like, it's just you. And he's like, well, did you read the book? And I was like, I haven't yet. Maybe I should. And he said, well, think big. Think with the end in mind. How am I going to add people or recruit people or attract people to my team? How am I going to build a team if it's just Cam Sullivan? But if it's the Cam Sullivan team, people are like, oh, they'll inquire. It made me inquire. So why not? And that's really where you start going through the 7 levels. 2nd level of the business is when you bring on your administrator. Well, that's when you focus on your 20% and they focus on your 80%. And that's really starting to form a business. Level 3 is when you bring on a 2nd administrator. This is crazy. Most agents think, well, I'm going to bring on a buyer agent first because I don't want to go on showings. I don't want to show up in my walker anymore. Well, no, you're going to still show up in your walker and you're going to go on showings. What the administrative hub is supposed to do is focus on the transaction, the paperwork, submitting, making sure that your checks go in the mail, making sure that people get paid, making sure all that stuff happens, as well as client care, making sure that you, like, your emails are cleared up so that you can focus on what your important tasks are, which is the 5 jobs of a realtor, which is script and role play, lead generate, lead follow up, go on appointments, negotiate contracts. That's the 5 jobs. If you're doing something outside of that, you're a level 1 team.
Absolutely. And for those who are listening or watching and don't understand what that is yet, what Dylan's referring to is the 80-20 principle, Pareto's principle, that says 20% of our activities will yield 80%+ of our income. And so by focusing on those 5 things, we should make more money in theory. Now you're proving that theory and you went through a lot of information here. I mean, I've got E to P, 7 levels. We've got Kiyosaki's quadrant in here. I mean, you're throwing a lot of things at people. If someone needed to figure this out from start to finish, would you say just get the red book, or is there another way? Is there another system that they can look into to start finding out some of this stuff?
So I think that the concept needs to be held that no one's going to go and pick up a book and change their life. It's just not going to happen. The question I would pose is, how do you eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time. I like it's not rocket science. The book walks you through that. I'm not the smartest man alive. I've always said that. I just followed and modeled what someone did at a really high level. And I think that that book and what Gary has done at a really high level is run a really awesome real estate business. It doesn't matter what title or what name is behind you. Truthfully, if you start running your business like that book, your world will open and things will change. And so,
I got into business. I didn't get in for a business. I came for the flexibility, the freedom, and, you know, to change, you know, really just have a changing career. What's all this stuff you're giving me to do now?
Well, now we're going to go into level 4, 5, 6, and 7. So that's really what you're doing. So I spent 4 years. This is my first year of transitioning from a 4th level team to a 5th level team. And honestly, you can create a 4th level team. And we should probably do this as a video some other time where we actually draw out what a 4th level team is. Because I think it's monumental, especially in Ontario and in Canada, because we can have a $1 million real estate business annually as a 4th level team. We don't have to be to a 7th level team because of our price point and because of our commission opportunity.
So what happens to me when I get to 7th level? Because I keep hearing that number, and I'm sure our listeners are wondering, what does 7th level mean in our world?
I'm pretty sure we have another 20 minutes or so. We're going to work through this whole thing. And we're going to dive deep into this. You talked about what real estate success looks like. We can touch on investing, and we're going to walk through what the 7 level business is. Because truthfully, all the success that I've had is just because I've been ripping off and duplicating what other people have been successful on, and comes from that book.
Nice.
So the fourth piece of that business is hiring a buyer agent. And the fourth piece is, when are you never going to show homes again? You're not a fourth level team if you're still showing homes. So the fourth level team is when you are the team lead, the rainmaker on the team. You have two administrators, you hire your first agent, and you identify, I'm going to focus on listings, you're going to focus on buyers. Now, buyers are going to take about four times the effort and the energy and the time, but they're a quarter of the cost, which means that my listings are going to be four times the cost and a quarter of the energy and effort and time, which is why I can maintain larger listing volume than I can buyers. I can work with four times the listings that I can with buyers, which is why, as the rainmaker that built the team, I most likely have more success and more longer track record on the listing side than the new agent I'm bringing in. That's not always accurate, and that's not always true. And I will say that there's a difference that can be made for every, there's an argument that can be made for every type of model, especially if you're in partnership, or if it's a husband and wife team, or if it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever that may be. At the end of the day, if it's a two-person partnership that come in, they're both licensed, I would identify who's going to focus 80% of their time on listings and 20% on buyers, and 80% on buyers and 20% on listings, so that you really focus on the one thing. Another incredible book. So that's the fourth level team, where you then never show a buyer again. A fifth level team is, when are you going to leverage off listings? And when I say leverage off listings, this is when you start to develop into more of a coach, mentor, trainer, and you work on the business versus in the business. Now, the whole org chart that I just showed you that I've become very passionate about, that's kind of a square with four circles, it just blows up. Because now at level five, it turns into an actual org chart that you've seen in most worlds, where they have lines going everywhere and everything goes everywhere. Now, the simplest way to put it is that you take that fourth level and you duplicate it. So two agents and two admin, two agents and two admins. Now we're four agents and four admin. The other thing I should say is that when following the process, which is the leverage series process, it takes, there's a 30, a 60, and a 90, which is someone goes from I do, which is just me doing it on my own, to we do. So I spend 90 days training them on what that looks like, to they do, which means it's off my plate. I don't ever see that job again, because they've earned the right to do that, and they own it, and that's theirs. And so that's a 90-day process. So with every role, it's a 90-day process. Now, because you are the rainmaker and the leader in that square or circle with four circles on it, realistically, that is a 90, 90, 90, and 90, which is 360 days, otherwise known as a year. It can take you 1 year if you do the proper hiring process and you walk people through what that looks like. It took me four. So as much as it looks like I've had fast growth, it looks like I've done all these magical things, and that's great. I love it. I appreciate it. And it took me four times of failing forward. It was painful. My team imploded a couple times. I had people that left. They said, your vision's too big. You scare me. I had people that left and said, we can never come back from this. We lost ABC, and it's going to be too big of a deal. Truthfully, when your eye is in the vision, when you have a clear vision on where you want to go and what you want to accomplish and why you want to accomplish it, Simon Sinek's Find Your Why, another book. When you know what that is and you're driving towards it every single day, there's nothing that can stop you.
So four times, so we heard the implosion, 4 years, four different tries at it. That's normal, isn't it? I mean, if we're building massive success, we have to fail forward through the process. So share with our listeners something you learned through all this pain, because I saw some pain there as you were saying it. It happened four different times. What did you learn through that process?
What I learned through that process is that as soon as you try and take a shortcut, you're going to probably fail forward again. This is an opportunity for you to fall on your face. You've just cut corners. And when you cut corners, you trip on the curb and you end up on your face. Well, the one thing that I will say is that I mentioned the leverage series, the course that I highly recommend everyone that wants to grow a team will take. The leverage series will walk you through what the hiring process is. How do you actually hire someone on a 9-step process that if you skip steps, you probably will fall on your face. When you follow those 9 steps and you master those 9 steps, you'll have a great team. The second step is the 30, 60, 90, which is once you've hired that person, what do they do? So this is where you meet with them on 30 days and it's red light, green light. What that means is you've accomplished your tasks, we continue in business, or you haven't accomplished your task and we get out of business. And what you do when you set that expectation from the beginning, you have a lot of people that decide not to jump on board, which is okay. It's better to have that problem now than it is 90 days from now or 30 days or 60 days from now. But what you will also find, and why the team imploded, is that after 30 and 60 days during those meetings, they said, Dylan, you set some very clear expectations and I simply don't want to do it. And I said, all right, well, I guess we've self-selected out of business together.
Well, and you mentioned, I mean, we chatted back, I think, 3 or 4 months ago, and you told me you were putting together probably the most rigorous onboarding system anyone has ever, almost Navy SEALs-esque in nature. How's that playing out for you? Are you getting buy-in? Are people showing up and delivering on the expectations we just talked about?
So I had 2 agents that jumped into that, and we just celebrated their 90 days, October 1st. The one thing that was a non-negotiable on 3060/90 was 2 firm transactions. These are brand new agents, not a conditional transaction, firm transactions. We provided everything we needed to provide. Could we get more clarity? Absolutely. We're refining it every single 90 days. And we're going to continue to do this on a quarterly calendar. We're going to continue to do this. And I've leveraged off an incredible individual who's going to run this opportunity and turn it into a full-on coaching program, which is other ancillary businesses down the road. However, what we've done is the success we had is one individual now has 11 BRAs that he's still working on, and he did 4 firm transactions. Wow. 3 of those transactions came in the week prior to our 90 day. It takes some time to step up, to get going, get in momentum. But the idea is you've built a solid foundation through that 12-week onboarding that now the expectation, and everyone on my team knows this, is that every 30 days you do 2 firm deals. Now, I get that people take holidays. I get that there's seasonality to the business. It's a 90-day rolling calendar where you do 2 transactions every 30 days on a rolling 90 days. So if you decide to have a really awesome December, you want to take January, February off, that's your choice. Now you're going to have a really busy March, catch up again, and that is really your choice. And so this 12-week Navy SEAL onboarding program that we created was designed for 2 things. It was designed to push people past their breaking point, which is what Navy SEALs do. And the second thing was that a lot of people overlook is the culture and the family aspect. Every day they were expected to be on scripting calls, which I think your team is on as well.
Absolutely.
Every day they're on those scripting calls. They pick each other up. They challenge each other to be better every single day. Every single day they're in the office lead generating together, whether I'm there or not. They're there because they're motivating each other. They're helping each other. They're adding value to each other. Because if we all win, if one of us wins together, we all win together. And if one of us loses, we all lose. And we have to have that mindset. And that's what the onboarding program was really about, was to push people past their breaking point in 90 days so they were set up for the success to move on and go forward.
Now, we historically say, you know, you're 90 days to do something and then you're 90 days to see those results. You've got 11 BRAs. And for those that are listening that don't know what a BRA is, buyer representation agreement, you'll find we love to shorten everything. Nothing gets to be said fully. We like acronyms and we bring everything down. You've got 11 BRAs and 4 transactions that are firm. Did I get that right?
That's one guy. That's one brand new agent that got licensed about a month before he joined the team. And I don't think he did anything in that month. Maybe he did a little bit of reading and some prep work, but he was really waiting until we started our program. Now, our program had a strict start date and a strict finish date. And it was very important that I could give them tools and resources on what they could actually do before that. But I wasn't going to move off of that. Because if I'm going to set them up for the most success, it has to be structured.
So when you hear that, 90% plus of realtors who come into our business don't make it in our business. Like they fail out, things happen, life shows up, whatever it is. 90% of the people that you see get their license don't make it. And you just took someone brand new and created a system around that, and you're delivering results. That person will do, what do you figure, 24 units this year as a minimum standard, which is what your team set?
He's doing 30 and he wants to take 2 months off. Wow. So he wants to take off 2 months, both in Muskoka at his cottage. He's going to do 30 transactions. We just finished business planning literally 2 days ago, right, and set up the expectation on how the team of agents that I have in-house, not including expansion, not including myself, are going to do 288 transactions next year.
So if you could talk to that person, I mean, it probably mirrors you a bit, but if you could ask that person a question about where that hustle is coming from, is it the system? Is it internal? Where is that hustle coming from for them to be able to do 4 firm deals, 55,000 in GCI, if I'm doing the math right on your location, and 11 more potential opportunities that are going to follow, and 30 deals. It's incredible for a brand new agent to think of. So how do we keep that hustle going? How do we motivate ourselves to stay there?
So when I do the KPA process, the leverage series process, where I'm doing those 9 steps, step 3 and step 4 are monumental. If you don't go through step 3 and step 4, you can't help someone. Because step 3 is learning where they came from. A lot of the conversation that we're having right now, you spend an hour asking them, like writing it out, exactly where you came from. Tell me all the life events that you had. Did things really good happen? Did things really bad happen? What does that look like? And we write that out. And we take a 5-minute break, water break, bathroom break, whatever's needed, jump right back into it. And then we say, great. So the next hour, you're going to tell me what your next 5 years looks like. And if your next 5 years isn't aligned with my next 5 years, I won't get into business. I will refer you to someone else. My role as a leader is if I cannot provide you what you're looking for, that I'm going to refer you to someone who can. And I mean, we have fairly similar businesses. There's a couple others that we talk to on a regular basis that have fairly similar businesses. We're constantly giving each other value, whether that be recruits or that be agents or that be referrals, whatever that may be, because your vision is different than mine. Maybe fairly similar, but our visions are different. The way our businesses work is different. So the difference between my team imploding and my team hitting these levels of success was the five pillars of value, which we'll talk about in a minute. And it was also the fact that when it was imploding, I didn't actually go through that process. I didn't actually know where someone wanted to be in 5 years. And the four areas are your job. Where do you want to be in your job in 5 years? Where do you want to be in money in 5 years? And they probably have something to do with each other. And then pick two more priorities. Is it family? Is it travel? Is it recreation? What are those priorities that are really important to you? Because I want to know how I can help you personally and professionally. Now, the other thing I will say is I don't want to leave the other individual went through this program. He did pass as well. He does have two firm transactions, and he also does have BRAs. He has 6 or 7 BRAs as well. So both of these agents are going to continue to hit 2 transactions a month, probably 3 or 4 transactions a month, maybe even more. And our team, when we talk about the 5 levels of value, which we should probably touch on, as well as level 6 and level 7 business. I think that's probably what we got time for.
Today. Well, take us there because, you know, we'll have a lot of people listening wondering, okay, how do I get to level 6, level 7? So let's dive right in. And then I want to ask you a question that'll kind of erase all of that and say, well, I don't want to do any of that. I don't want a massive team. And I just want to go build wealth the way Dylan built wealth. And I want to hear from that side of things as well, how that showed up in your world. And I think I heard over 100 units in the last 18 months, which is absolutely incredible as well. So let's go to 6 and 7 and let's circle back and go to the agent who doesn't want that massive world, but wants to build a massive world somewhere else and how we can do that.
So level 5 we covered was when you're going to stop doing listings. When's the last time I'm going to take a listing? Level 6 is when are you going to expand? So when are you going to go outside of your original market, which my market is Oakville. We have an office in Oakville. I live in Burlington. I grew up in Niagara. So kind of the Golden Horseshoe, the west side of Toronto. But now we've launched an expansion partner in Toronto. And we're also launching an expansion partner in our Golden Horseshoe. That's another individual who's a highly successful individual that wants to grow and provide opportunity. So level 6 is when you start to coach and develop those expansion partners. And now you start to not only have your main hub, which is made up of the sales side and the support side, but it also has the expansion model. Now, level 7 is when are you going to replace yourself as a CEO? Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I'm ever going to replace myself as a CEO. I absolutely love what I'm doing. Then when you talk about retirement, like if the best person comes up and they're better than me and I have to step down because, I mean, Gary did it. He stepped down from CEO twice in his business because a better person showed up. If my team and the people that are around me in Elevation Realty can succeed at a higher level without me at the helm, I am 100% going to step down and allow that individual to thrive because that's what's best for the people around me and that's what's best for the team and the culture and what our team truly stands for.
Well, and Gary stepped back in. So even though he stepped away and 7th leveled in the entire organization, he came back because the leader, when we need to be there, we have to dive back into the business. It's just the way it works, right? So for anyone listening wondering, okay, I'm going to get to 7 and see ya, never going to be back, that is not the thing to do. You've got to keep an eye on your business. You still have to inspect what you expect, and you got to make sure that at any point in time, especially on a year like this year where we get a global pandemic happening, that we make sure we're available to step back into our business. So what I'm hearing is we're at level 6. We probably will never go to level 7. Maybe, maybe not if the right talent shows up, the right who shows up. But what's next?
That's a great question. So I had a coach of mine do a fun exercise and activity with me. What are we? October. This was probably the end of the summer. And it was called The Biggest Check. And we went through this whole process. It was a 1-page document. I was writing out different numbers. And she made me look back through the five largest checks that I had over the last 12 months. And we weren't talking about refinances, pulling out of capital. I mean, there was house sales, there was sales, whatever they may be. My average check over that past 12 months was $91,000 for those top 5 checks.
Wow.
Now, I was looking at like leverage and I was looking at what does my business look like? Where do I need to go? What can I do to replicate that? And when she said, okay, well, what does your next check look like? I'm like, well, 30 grand or 5 grand or 10 grand. And she's like, why? your time is worth $91,000. Now, it's not just about what the financial reward is, it's about what that $91,000 can do. And there is a ton that $91,000 can do. If I look at it from the 30-30-40 model, which we're not gonna get too into today, but I can tell you that 40% is profit. So if we take a $91,000 check and we take 40% profit, that's $36,000, 36 and a half, whatever that is, that means there's $55,000 that I need to pour into the business. That's into cost of sale, that's into expenses, that's into business growth. So my $91,000 check that I earn, quote unquote, when I reinvest that back into the business is $55,000 to drive that engine forward. So it's important to understand that the $91,000 isn't like write a check and put it in your back pocket. I run my business entirely based on model, entirely based on the profit first analogy, entirely based on the MREA. Millionaire real estate agent. And I focus on the 30-30-40 as well as the profit allocations and even Tony Robbins asset allocation buckets. So there's a lot that I just mentioned there. I do teach it over and over again. And I'm happy to go into more detail so people can reach out and I can share what some of that may look like. But what I realized with that biggest check was that my highest and best return for my team, not just myself, but for the entire team, was really on three things. It was conversations with talent. I just showed you how two individuals sold six houses in 90 days that had no prior real estate experience and are set up to sell 17 more houses in the next probably 90 days if they really want to hustle and push themselves.
Right.
That system, I'm not doing my friends and family and realtors coming into this business a service. I'm doing a disservice if I don't provide that opportunity to them. So when you mentioned that all these agents are not reaching success because they got into real estate because they thought it was just go out and show properties and sell houses, I truly believe that most agents should join a team. Even myself, I should have joined a team in the beginning. If you feel that that team doesn't add value to you later on down the road, that's on the team, not on you. You go off, you do your own thing, you run forward and you're more successful, have at it. But I'll tell you right now that those three things I need to do is find talent. I need to manage my listings because I still didn't have someone that was able to take the listings off my plate. That is the number one thing I'm focusing on this quarter to leverage off my plate. So the next year I'm completely out of the business. And then the third thing is buildings. Now I love, love, love commercial buildings, multifamily buildings, preferably not mixed use, but there's some mixed use. I was challenged from a coach of mine, Stefan Arnio. Unfortunately, he passed earlier this year, but he was challenging me in probably 2 weeks before that day happened that I had to buy a 100-unit building. And so I wasn't ready for a 100-unit building. I didn't know what that would look like. I still haven't even seen a 100-unit building. I really don't know because all those REITs and those big players have all those 100-unit buildings. I'm going to find one. And I tell you, I'm going to find one. I'll name it Stefan, whatever it may be. But I'm going to buy a 100-unit apartment building, and I'm going to turn that baby, and I'm going to turn that into the Taj Mahal. And it's going to be a fun and exciting opportunity. Now, the reason I do that is because when I do something, I go all out. I do it 100%. I play all out. Well, you wanted to talk about wealth. We'll talk about that as well. And we'll do these five pillars of value. We're going to have to compress this into a short period of time. And when I'm selling buildings, like I have one building right now, it's a 32-unit apartment building that we purchased for $3.4 million. We're putting $1.5 million into it in a 12-month period. Turning the entire building, including the interest we're paying to the lender, is about a $5 million expense. And I'm projecting the refinance to come back between 7.3 and 7.6 million. Which is creating $2.3 to $2.6 million in equity in a 12-month period.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to pause right there because we definitely don't have enough time to dive into your basketball. I thought we might, but we're going to have you back. You know, for everyone listening, stay tuned because Dylan will be back. We'll have to do it a second time. And we're going to do an investment portfolio plan and less of the real estate side because I know you want to get to the five pillars. So let's pause it there. A little bit of nugget for everyone. For those that heard it, Dylan just doubled the value of the building, which is incredible. And 7 million? Did I hear that right?
7.3 to 7.6.
I got 7.3 value. What are you going to take out of that? Or what's that going to look like when you refi? Because I know a little bit about
We'll leave this as like a last little teaser for the investing side of things. That building in particular, we will buy it, we will renovate it, we'll refinance it. And during that rental process, we'll pay back our investor our $5 million loan, which covers all the expenses that we put into it, including interest, closing costs, everything's included. We'll do a CMHC 85% loan to value. Now there's some strategy in between because we can't pay him out with CMHC's new policies, but we have a way we're going to do it. 85% loan to value on that $7.5 million, let's just call it. We're gonna pull another million out of that building. So an extra million in equity. There's three partners in it, so $333,000 each that we'll be able to put in our pockets and invest into something else. And we're gonna leave about $1 million to $1.5 million in that building. With that, on CMHC's new rates of somewhere between 1.8 and 2% interest, on a 40-year amortization is actually going to net us over $20,000 positive income each and every month. So about $7,000 each net income based on one building. So when you start looking at all this real estate stuff you do, like, I didn't think that was doable and possible 4.5 years ago. I didn't even know selling 50 houses was doable and possible 4.5 years ago. One building that's going to provide us with $350,000 each in our pockets, as well as $7,000 a month each in our pockets each month. One building. So my passion is in sharing that information and finding more of that information and turning more of those buildings over.
Not a bad little return on an investment strategy on one building. Tell us again, Dylan, how many?
One building.
That's awesome.
And that's 100 units. Like, it's 100 units. Let's see if I triple that.
That's amazing. Okay, so tell me about the five pillars. I know you wanted to hit on that. I know everyone's waiting anxiously for that. And then we're going to bring you back. I mentioned it already, but we're going to bring you back and make sure we dive into the investment stuff at another time.
I love it. So I mentioned the fourth level business, and I had so much clarity on what that took. It took me 4 years to build that out. And I'm like, how do I go from 4 to 7? And that was my question. I'm sitting there, how do I go from 4 to 7? How do I go from 4 to 7? And then I started thinking, well, we'll touch on that in the next podcast as well, which is the 2023 goal of 1,200 units. And I'll talk about the biggest problem with that is, what do we do with our 40% profit? So we can touch on that another time. Is, I don't know what to do with that 40% profit. So I'm starting to think of ideas on how we can pour back into those who are in our world to provide that profit. Now, the five pillars of value that I got clarity around when I was trying to find the fourth level business to the seventh level business, that's really how to run your real estate business. Pillar number one is your personality. And that's where a lot of realtors just think that that's all five levels. It's like, I've done really well. Come look at me. Look what I've done. And then all of a sudden you'll be me. That's not the case. Everyone's different. We're all unique. You have to be able to figure out the opportunity and what people can specialize in. And in that Navy SEAL onboarding, we give you a sample. We actually use your video on the seven lead gen levers. Your energy needs to come up a little bit on that one. We'll redo that one.
But
the content is heavy duty. I love it. So we talk about those lead gen levers. People focus on their one thing. And so that was our concept and idea in that 12-week onboarding. So pillar number one is your personality. If all you do is offer a personality, you're going to lose people. You're going to build your business. And if people are only there for you, you will never have a business. You will have a self-employed company.
Right.
Second value pillar is training. Now, Keller Williams is the number one training company in the world 3 years in a row across all industries. So we know that Keller Williams does good training. What is going to stop someone that once they've come on your team and gotten into success, go back and leave your team? Now, it's okay if they do. You shake their hand, you congratulate them, you say good luck in the rest of your career. That's totally okay. And it's an opportunity for you to say, I want to get to the next level. What value am I going to add? That's above and beyond, which is where my 12-week onboarding came from. We took Ignite and Bold and all these other things that are incredible opportunities. And we said, how can we double that? How can we double down on that? The third pillar is support. This one is the one that we're working on. So Q4, we're really, really, really focusing on building out our support side because that is an area of opportunity for us. So I have an executive assistant that everyone goes to on my team and they says, oh, can you give me this? Can you give me this? Can you give me this? We're recreating that EA into an entire support side of the business that's gonna have client care, transaction coordinator, marketing manager, all the templates, video editor, photographer, this large support team, which we've already started working on. And that's the support side that's really gonna get you over the hump.
Right.
Fourth pillar of value, and these are like kind of, they go a little higher each time. I think you're going like five steps if you would like, five stairs. The fourth pillar of value is leads. Now, if you only just give leads to your team, you'll probably keep them for a while. They're probably happy, but if there's no support and no training, just the leads, eventually you'll lose them. You need to have all these different pillars. The fifth pillar, which is the one that we are going to focus on in 2021, is appointments. And that's really the biggest opportunity in Canada. And there's some hurdles to overcome in Canada with licensing and so on and so forth, which is totally fine because that is it. When I talked to you at the beginning about this big iceberg and there's bigger problems when you're a more successful business, well, that's our bigger problem. So we're trying to work on a way that we intend on overcoming that problem and creating that appointment setting, so that agents that are on the team, they have a department that sets an appointment. So when they wake up in the morning, they do their 3 hours of lead generation, they have a quick lunch, they go on appointments. They could have booked them, we could have booked them. At the end of the day, when you book appointments into an agent's calendar, is the only way you can get your cost of sales to 30% when you are out of production. And we've had this conversation before, and you told me it's not possible, and I am here to prove you wrong, and I will say I'm the youngest one to do it. I did it before you. Whatever we have to say, because that's going to be fun and exciting, and I love you push me to do it, but I tell you right now, I will figure this out, and I'm using the models and systems that Keller Williams is providing us with, and it is the appointments.
Well, and it's fun to tell you you can't do something and then watch you go solve it, because I'm going to benefit from this too, so I have no problem letting you chase it, because then I don't have to. It's called leverage, right?
I'll do the dirty work. Dog on a bone, my friend. Dog on a bone.
That's incredible. Okay, Dylan, we're out of time. We got, you know, we're going to reschedule this. I mentioned that already. If I want to track you down, what's the best way to get a hold of you? How do I find you? Are you social media, Instagram, text messaging? Where do we find Dylan Suter?
That is a great question. I don't really have an answer for you right now on what that would look like. I would say my EA is probably the solution. I would say if you message admin, A-D-M-I-N, at elevationrealty.ca, sorry, Kim, I love you. That will be the easiest way to get in touch with me. I've been on a few podcasts talking about different things that she can send you as well. I will be doing a 50 coffee dates in 50 days, which we're going to blow up. And I'll even put this on air right now. In 2021, we will be airing a virtual 1 minute recap of a one-on-one conversation with growth-minded individuals focused around real estate, whether it's investing or agents. Every single day on my Instagram, we'll have a 1 minute recap of what the coaching moment was. And when you talk about all these different things we touched on, that's exactly what I'm going to cover. And I'm working on a system so that I show up and spend 30 minutes pouring as much energy as I possibly can in. And we're prepared ahead of time and we're prepared afterwards to make sure we make this the biggest opportunity that we can in Canada and for all the agents out there that want to learn and are eager to jump into. So that's, I would say, incredible. Check out Instagram.
So admin at elevationrealty.com or .ca?
.ca and at Dylan Suter Elevate.
And at Dylan Suter Elevate. If you need to track down Dylan for one of those coffee dates, 30 minutes of this incredible gentleman's time, that's how you get it. We are the Real Estate Hustle Podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcast. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're everywhere. Reach out as well if you either want to get on the show or want to track down one of our amazing guests. Dylan, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much. Every time we get together, I take nuggets. I got a full page worth of notes here. Actually, 3 pages worth of notes. Thank you for sharing with me as well. And I look forward to the next time we have you out. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.